All right. Good evening. I will say, let us begin. So we are picking up tonight's daf is Yud Test 19, and we are picking up. Where did we leave off? I'm a saper acher mitasa. All right, beautiful. So we are now 19a, 2, 4, 6. 8 lines into the Y line. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that there are 24 examples, 24 places, 24 situations where Beis Din will excommunicate someone on what we call Al Kavod HaRav. Now, Kavod HaRav literally means for the Kavod of the Rav, but what it really means in this respect, in this context over here, is there are 24 different cases where if a person is disparaging of rabbinic law, we'll excommunicate him. Okay. So we saw three of them. So let's go on. He says, so remember, HaMasapra Achem Itasen Shotamidi Chachamim. So again, so one of the cases we saw is a person who speaks negatively about Tamidi Chachamim after their death. So Mahi, what's the case there? Disnan, Hu Ayo Omer, In Mashkin Loas HaGiores V'Loas HaMeshukhrara. So we'll say, interesting case. The who, right, the who over here is Akavya Ben Mahalalel. So Akavya Mahalalel said, well, so we know there's a process of sota. What's the process of sota? A woman is warned by her husband not to be alone with a particular man. She violates that warning, and she's secluded long enough with that man for something to have occurred. Remember, we don't know, did she commit adultery, not commit adultery? There's a process called sota, where she's taken up to the Beis HaMikdash. There's a whole concoction that is made. She drinks it. If she's guilty, she dies. And if she's innocent, ultimately, again, the elixir serves as a source of incredible blessing for her. So now listen to this. Akavi ben Mahalalel said that if a woman is a convert or a mishukhraras, an emancipated slave, which is also essentially a convert, that she does not drink. Now, what's Makavya ben Mahalalel's logic? His logic is that the pasuk by sota says, Bnei Yisrael. Use Lashon Bnei Yisrael, Dabra Bnei Yisrael. So Akavya ben Mahalalel says, Bnei Yisrael means people who are born Jewish. People who are born Jewish, and not anyone who comes into it later on in life. Okay. The Chum say, no, Mashkin. Chum say, it's not true. Every Jewish woman is eligible for the sota waters, whether she's a naturally born Jew or a convert. Okay, so va'amrulo, and they said that Akavya ben Mahalalel, Maisa bekarkomis shivcha mishuchraris biyushalayim, vihishkua shemai ba'avtalion. And ultimately, they told Akavya ben Mahalalel, by the way, there was a story, this actually happened with a woman, a karkomis. Now Rashi says over here, karkomis was either her name, the woman's name, or the name of the place from which she originated, right? And she was an emancipated slave woman who became Jewish. She was then suspected of adultery, and Shemaya and Avtalion administered the sota waters to her. Farmer Lahem, Akavya ben Mahalalel said, ah, that's not a big deal. Dugma hishkuha. They gave her to drink because she is just like them. The Bible said, now what does that mean, she was just like them? Now Shemaya and Avtalion were descendants from Sancheirev. Remember again, Sancheirev was the king of Assyria. Sancheirev was the king who exiled the 10 tribes. So the amazing part is his grandchildren converted. So you know you have a number of stories. The Gemara says that Haman's grandchildren learned Torah in Bnei Brak. You know, which is interesting. Sometimes, you know, the worst evil produces sometimes like the greatest holiness. Which, if you think about it, incredibly evil people have passion. They just use that passion in terrible, misdirected ways. But that energy is there. And if it can be directed in a positive way, they're capable of producing so much incredible good. So it's fascinating to see, like, Haman's grandchildren learned Torah. Sancheirev was the king of Assyria, exiled the 10 tribes. And his grandchildren, great grandchildren, were ultimately against Shemaya and Avtalion. Now, by the way, just to explain to you who Shemaya and Avtalion were. Shemaya and Avtalion were Gedolei Hadar. They were the Rebbeim of Hillel and Shammai. Right? So you're talking about great, great people. So Akavya ben Mahalalel says, yeah, of course they gave that woman to drink because she's just like them. You know, essentially these converts, they all stick together. Which obviously is a pretty disparaging statement to make about anyone, certainly about great leaders of the generation. So what happens? Gemara says, Viniduhu umes viniduyav. They excommunicated Akavya ben Mahalalel. They excommunicated him. Ultimately, he died while in a state of excommunication. V'saklu beis din es aronu. And they stoned his coffin. Rabbi, we're going to see in a little bit later on that when you died in a state of excommunication, they would stone your coffin. Now, understand, stoning your coffin is not really what we'll see. What they actually did is they would put a very large boulder on top of the coffin. And that ultimately symbolized that this person was in a state of excommunication. We'll discuss the symbolism of that in a little bit. Yes?
Do we resolve it and have to give it to a convert and a freed slave?
Or no? We give it to everyone. If a woman is Jewish, she's eligible. It doesn't make a difference if she's naturally born Jewish.
Is there ever any validity to biological Judaism versus a convert?
Oh, absolutely. For example, a Jewish king has to be a naturally born Jew. A convert cannot become a king. Right. So yes, you definitely have you have circumstances in halacha where there are distinctions between gerim and a kohen can't marry a georis.
A new neshama comes in, becomes a new person. The other people aren't connected anymore. So like it's a really new person, and they're Jewish as much as anyone else.
So it's a new person in terms of their personal identity, but yet the reality is that a convert is still a convert, just like a kohen is a kohen. In other words, you see, here's the difference, and one of the most beautiful things in Yiddishkeit. See, in Western culture, so we assume often if people can't do the same thing, that is a sign of inequality. So Yiddishkeit understood, no, people have different roles, and people have different responsibilities, so they're going to do different things. Like, I would give anything to be a Kohen. I give anything to be a Kohen. I'm jealous of nothing in life, except I am madly jealous of Kohen. Like, mad jealous of them. No?
Of?
Kohanim. Accountants,
Levian.
What are you talking about?
Levian.
I don't know, Levian, they're kind of like the tall boys, you know?
You get a lot of
it's true. Look, you know what? You still have a front row seat, Levian, right? Me, I'm a Yisrael. I'm going to be somewhere like outside on the, on the mountain. I'm not even going to get in. But Lamaisa, so what does it mean? I'm less important? I'm less holy than the Kohanim? No, it's just, it's different roles. So a ger is different than a Jew, is different than a man, is different than a woman, is different than a... So again, so in Sota, it happens to be that halacha is the same for everyone. But there are absolutely other areas of halacha where there's a distinction between gerim and other Jews. All right, so the point over here, you see an example of they excommunicated Akavya ben Mahalalel because he was disparaging towards the Talmud Chacham, and actually he died in a state of excommunication. Next, Hamzalzal ben Atilas Yadayim. So a person goes ahead, and then another example of a person is disparaging of the rabbinic enactment of hand washing. So Mahi, what's this case? This is an Amr Yehuda. Chas v'shalom sh'akavya ben Mahalalel nisnada. So first of all, Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, guys, you have your information wrong. Fake news, right? Information wrong about the previous story. Akavya ben Mahalalel was never excommunicated. Chas v'shalom. Why? Listen to how beautiful this is. She'in azara nin elas al kol adam b'yisrael b'chachma u'betara u'beyiras chet ka'akavya ben Mahalalel. Listen to this lashon. He says, because remember, Akavya Mahal lived during the time of the first temple, first Beis HaMikdash. And ultimately, again, so they said over here about Akavya Mahal that there was no greater person, right? There was no greater person in wisdom, in purity, in fear of sin, like Akavya Mahal. He was the greatest of the great. The greatest of the great. So what happened? Ella esmi nidu. So who? All right, somebody was excommunicated. Who was excommunicated? Es Elazar ben Chanoch. They excommunicated this guy, Elazar ben Chanoch. Shepik peik b'netila sedayim. Ultimately, somehow, Gemara doesn't go into detail over here, but he was disparaging of the rabbinic enactment of hand washing. Netila sedayim. And what happened? And Kishemes, when he died instead of excommunication. Sholchu beizdin venichu aven gedola al arono. So Beizdin placed a large stone on top of his coffin. As we saw before, this lamdecha shekala misnade umis biniduyov based in Soklin es arono. To teach us, say that if a person is excommunicated and they die in a state of excommunication, Beisdin would place a very large stone on top of their casket. They will say, what's the symbolism of a large stone on top of the casket? So that's very profound over here. Remember, we'll say, how do you get yourself excommunicated? It's good to know. How do you get yourself excommunicated? Right? There's a variety of different ways, but clearly what the Gemara is saying over here is a person who flouts rabbinic law or disparages rabbinic law, they would excommunicate you. So they'll say, what should you do if you're excommunicated?
Comply.
Right? Comply. Right? Well said. In other words, fix it. Fix it. If you die in a state of excommunication, what does that show? What does that show? That you did not comply. In other words, that you perpetuated this broken state. And I will say, so sometimes in life, we find ourselves in circumstances that we did not choose. or we create negative circumstances with ourselves. So often in life, you cannot choose your circumstances. And sometimes, again, even you don't realize what you created for yourself. But then there comes that moment where you have the chance to make a choice and extricate yourself out of the negative circumstances or remain there. And a lot of times in life, we choose to remain in compromised circumstances. And we just, for whatever reason, don't move ourselves forward. So when someone died in a state of excommunication, you know what they did? They put a stone on top of his coffin. I'll say, what happens when you have a stone on top of your coffin?
You're right.
It's, you're immobile.
You're rock-brained.
Right? I'm sorry?
Rock-brained.
Rock-brained?
And no flexibility.
Is that a term?
Yeah, rock-brained.
Rock-brained. I never heard that before.
It's
really total inflexibility. Wow.
Each kid
can
be flexible and get rid of their rock brain.
Interesting.
Start right here in the barn.
Okay, I feel like there's a drusha in there somewhere also. Right, start. Maybe this is where I came
from.
Right here. Michelle who?
Michelle
who did Arachid Kalei Dira Medyomi. All right, incredible. Let's say, so now listen to this.
Right. So excommunication is reversible?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, it happens to be, in the world of excommunication, there's actually different levels. Nidui is a relatively, it's a lesser form, right? The highest form is cherem. Cherem is like
suspension versus
expelling. Correct. But even everything is reversible. Everything is reversible. Because remember, these are communal bans that are put on a person. And generally it's because of flouting standards, you know, non-compliance, you know, and behaviors that are considered to be like a danger to the greater community. So yeah, absolutely. You choose to comply, you get rid of your rock brain, right? Is that the right term? Get rid of your rock brain or replace your rock brain?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Good. So suddenly, but it's fascinating, right? It's fascinating. So when this person dies, what happens? They put that stone there. Almost to show the community, by the way, this did not have to be this way, right? This person chose to saddle himself with this inflexibility. This person chose a life of non-compliance. It's like such a, we see this, all of us know someone, right, who is in a compromised or difficult life circumstance because they're making a choice not to improve their circumstances. Of course, not talking about me. It's never me. It's always a friend, right? I know someone. He'll say, but it's such an incredible thing, right? We all have circumstances like that. I know things don't have to be like this. This relationship doesn't have to be like this. Circumstances don't have to be like this. But yet, we become so inflexible. We become so immovable. We're stuck under the rock. That's the nidui. Incredible. All right, let's go weiter. Hamagis daito klapi mailo. A person will say, magis daito klapi mailo literally means that a person is like arrogant. An arrogant, a person, but this is arrogance towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Not interpersonal arrogance, but almost like, celestial, you know, heavenly arrogance. Well, that doesn't. My arrogance towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, what's that case? Mahi. This is actually great. This none. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shatach. So we'll say, to give you context, the Gemara over here is quoting the famous story of Choni HaMa'agel. Gemara Maseches Tanis. Remember again, the Gemara tells the story, there was no rain in Eretz Yisrael. No rain in Eretz Yisrael. So this man by the name of Choni comes along, he draws a circle. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am not leaving the circle until you bring rain. What happened? Remember what happened? Right? Now what ended up happening is, started drizzling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not enough. I need real rain, like sustaining rain. Started to pour, cats and dogs. Right? What happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not that kind of rain. So finally, again, it got it like in the shower, right? They got it right to the right setting, and that was it. So Shimon ben Shetach comes over to Choni and says, Choni, you have a lot of chutzpah. You got a lot of chutzpah. You don't do that with God, right? You don't do that with God. You don't start making demands of God, and you don't start getting. Essentially, Choni, really, what it came down to is Choni gave God an ultimatum. That's really what happened. And you don't give God. You could beseech. You could request, you could ask, you could even like nicely demand, but you can't give ultimatums. So Shimon Shetach says to him, L'chodi ma'agel, sarech ata lehisnados. The truth is we should excommunicate you because you are setting a wrong model. In other words, this is not the way we interact with God. When you want something, you don't give God ultimatums. V'ol moli choni ata, and were it not that you are choni, kozvani alecha nidui. I would excommunicate you myself. But what could I do? You sin before God, Yeah, the Kaddish Baruch Hu does what you want. So I'll say, it's incredible. It's like Shem and Shatach. Shem and Shatach says to Choni. He says, you know what? I'd like to convene a Beis and excommunicate you. But yet you're chutzpahdik, right? You talk with chutzpah. You're insolent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he gives you what you ask for. So if God gives you what you ask for, how am I going to excommunicate you? You sin before God, and yet he still complies with your wishes. It's so beautiful. He says, you know what you're like? You're like a spoiled child, right? A child who misbehaves in front of the father, but what am I going to do? I love my kid. So you know what? They didn't behave. They didn't do what they were supposed to. They didn't speak the way they were supposed to, but I love them. So I'm going to give them what they're asking for, even though they don't deserve it. The pasuk says, "Yismach avicha v'imecha v'sagel yoladetech." So we'll say really, really beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Maybe when we finish brachas, we'll do tainis afterwards. It's a beautiful masechta. Okay, so says the Gemara, "V'sulaka." Now we'll say, now remember again what happened over here. We began with a conversation. Rabbi Shimon Levi said that there are 24 situations where Beis Din will excommunicate someone based on what we call a kavod arav. Based on a lack of regard, a lack of respect for rabbinic law. So now what happened? Rabbi Lazar came up with three. So the Gemara says, is that it? Are there only three? There are another example of this. Vaha ikra detani Rabbi Yosef. What about the following situation? Let's listen to this. Todus ish romi, hinig es b'nei romi la'achilon gidiyim mekulosim b'leilei psachim. So I'll say, this is really interesting. Todus. Now, two is Todus. Todus was a Jew who lived in Rome. Now, Todus introduced a very interesting practice in Rome, which was that on Pesach night, he said we should go ahead and roast a lamb with its kishkas, like with its entrails by its side. So we'll say, what is that reminiscent of? Carbon Pesach. Now, remembering, I will say, you are not allowed, it goes without saying that you're not allowed to offer up karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. What else can't you do? You can't engage in practices that look like you are offering karbanos outside of the Beis Hamikdash, which is why, to this day, our minog, the halacha is, we don't eat roasted lamb on the night of Pesach. We don't eat roasted lamb. So some apply this to roasted meat, some apply this to roasted chicken, that we won't eat anything roasted, because that looks too much like you're offering up the karban Pesach outside of the Beis Hamikdash. So this guy Todus comes along and he says, guys, I have a great idea. We're all going to roast lambs on the night of Pesach, right? Put it on a spit. We have to get the entrails there. Everything is there. It's going to be a party. It'll be just like good old days, just like Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash. So what happened? Shalach Shem HaShetach. So Shem HaShetach sent him a message. He said, Ilmalei Todus ata, were it not that you're Todus, goes Rani Alecha Nidui. I would excommunicate you. Sha'atamachil as Yisrael Kachim Bachutz. Because essentially you're offering up karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, of course, Todus wasn't literally offering up karbanos. That wasn't his intention, but the practice looked strange. So I will say, here's a perfect example of people, of Todus, who was flouting rabbinic law, right? Rabbinic law was, we don't offer up a roasted lamb on the night of Pesach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and they're ready to excommunicate him. So I will say, so why isn't this included in the list as well? But Mishnah Senu Karminon, so the Gemara says, Vaha Braisihi. So the Gemara answers, because remember, we're talking about over here examples that are brought in the Mishnah, and this isn't the Mishnah. Instead, this is a statement made in the Braisa. So we'll stop over here for tonight. We're going to pick up with more examples of this, of people, again, flouting rabbinic law, flouting rabbinic standards, and ultimately being held accountable. Shkoyach. Everyone is invited to join us.
Could you eat any other day?
Absolutely.
Yeah. No.
You could put it on a spit, roast like that, because again, as long as it's not Pesach night, it doesn't have the appearance that you're offering anything.